Good morning. It's time for Daily Chapel at the LCMS International Center in St. Louis. The text is Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. The Reverend Craig Mueller is preaching. The broadcast of Chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces.
A reading from Matthew, the 9th chapter. As Jesus passed on from there, he saw a man called Matthew sitting at the tax booth, and he said to him, "Follow me." And he rose and followed him. And as Jesus reclined at table in the house, behold, many tax collectors and sinners came and were reclining with Jesus and his disciples. And when the Pharisees saw this, they said to his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" But when he heard it, he said, "Those who are well have no need of a physician, but only those who are sick. Go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners." O Lord, have mercy upon us.
Thanks be to God.
In many and various ways, God spoke to his people of old by the prophets.
But now in these last days, he has spoken to us.
Well, today we remember St. Matthew, the tax collector turned disciple by our Lord. Jesus is seeking disciples. 11 of them will then be sent into the world to make disciples of all nations, and they will suffer great hardship, even death, along the way. They come from all varieties of vocations and backgrounds, yet today, as we ponder St. Matthew, we see how he is called. How many of you have watched the new series, The Chosen, that can be streamed? I think their portrayal of Matthew is about what we can get from the Bible. It is quite fascinating as it tells some of the stories of Jesus, but the character who plays Matthew is very interesting. They play him as a smart guy, but sort of quirky, not well-liked in his community, and uncomfortable in relationships. Yes, we have in our text here Jesus calling Levi, Matthew. And Jesus walks and says one Greek word, "Be following me." And the response was Matthew did follow him. No discussions, no questions, no arguments, no strategic plan, no fundraising plans. He left it all and followed Jesus. Jesus called and Matthew answered. He left everything and immediately followed his Lord. Matthew is among those who follow and are chosen and will accompany him for 3 years of now intensive training and study. Well, on this day, Jesus really has a choice between two different groups. On the one hand, there's Matthew, the tax collectors, a government functionary who collects customs, sales taxes, and other taxes and counts the coins. In his spare time, Matthew hangs around with other tax collectors and notorious sinners, a sordid bunch that doesn't even pretend like they're trying to earn God's favor and work their way into heaven. On the other hand, there are those Pharisees to choose from. These are the serious, strict men who spent years in the study of scriptures. And if Jesus selects a Pharisee, he is a man who is already disciplined and schooled. But the Lord picks Matthew, the unlikely choice for a disciple. And then our text says that he not only picks him, but he goes and eats a meal with Matthew and his sinful friends. The Pharisees are scandalized, outraged. If this is the Savior, how could he do such a thing? You see, this is the thought process of the Pharisees. We earn God's favor by doing his will. Therefore, God loves those who do his will more than those who don't. So naturally, a devout Pharisee would seem a better choice than a tax collector of dubious character. But all the same, Jesus picks Matthew, and the Pharisees' reaction follows their chain of thought. For one thing, they despise Matthew, but then again, they already did. More significantly, they despise Jesus. It's not so much the snub that he didn't pick one of them. No, the problem as they see it is that he's working against them. They've worked out their own plan of salvation, and their plan is that they will offer their good works to God as a pleasing sacrifice to gain his favor. But if Jesus eats with sinners instead of them, he's not following their plan and understanding. Jesus has mercy on those whom they despise, and he's offering aid and comfort to the enemy. He's a threat because he undermines their confession of the faith. How can he do such a thing? Well, Jesus explains to the Pharisees, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. Imagine a doctor who declares that he seeks to practice only on people in perfect health. It's ridiculous. Healthy people don't have to be cured. They already are free from disease. But it's not so hard to believe a situation we witness so often. Often one who is sick refuses to admit his illness. Rather than see a doctor who can help, he maintains, "I don't need a doctor because I'm not sick." It's silly, but some will not admit they are sick, even when it is clear to everyone around them that they're gravely ill. And here's an important point. No matter how much positive thinking they put into it, no matter how much they deny it, they are still ill. Wishing doesn't make it so. Doctors don't help healthy people who don't need them. Doctors can't help people who won't admit they are sick. Doctors can help those who confess their sin or their medical attention. And so we have the Savior. Jesus, who calls Matthew, has come to save sinners, people who are terminally ill with sin, like Matthew, like his fellow sinners, like you and me. He is not going to die for holy, sinless, righteous people, but he did die and rise again for sin-sick people like us. Jesus is going to die for sinners, for Matthew, for us. He's going to the cross to die for the sins of the world, our sins of hate, greed, lust, and gossip. We know we are sin-sick people who daily battle the devil, the world, and our sinful flesh. These are the enemies who try to convince us that we don't need a physician. We don't need a Seelsorger, a soul surgeon. But one cannot wish away sin any more than one can wish away COVID-19. One needs to be healed of the disease. So Jesus says, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." Quoting what his father said through Hosea centuries before, many will seek to get to heaven by offering sacrifices of good works, good thoughts, and good words, because they believe that they aren't so sinful. "Look, Lord, look what I've done. I've done good things." But the Lord does not desire such sacrifices. What does the Lord desire? He desires to have mercy. It is why he sacrificed his son, judging him on the cross in our place. He has given his son the punishment that we deserve so that he can give us what we don't deserve, grace, forgiveness. For the sake of Jesus, God the Father declares that you are forgiven. You are washed in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus has lived, suffered, died, and rose again for you. Your works do not save you. They cannot. By grace, mercy of God, for Christ's sake through faith. All of this is why Jesus calls Matthew, not one of the Pharisees. The Pharisees don't want him, and they don't want his mercy, even though they dearly need him. As long as they trust in their own sacrificial efforts, they have no need for the sacrifice. Jesus, therefore, eats with the sinners. So Matthew goes from tax collector to disciple. He humbly records his call so that we might rejoice in the Lord's mercy to him. Tax collectors understand numbers and how much has to be paid. By the grace of God, Matthew believes that he cannot pay the debt of sin. And by the grace of God, he trusts that Jesus mercifully forgives him. That's what the people of God are like. Rather than pointing to our own sacrifices, our attempts to please God, we confess our sins and rejoice in his mercy. The desire to trust in our sacrifices is strong. Our old sinful nature doesn't want us to confess them. We want to excuse them and as far prefers us to believe in our works rather than God's favor. But Jesus declares, "I desire mercy, not sacrifice." He saves us because he is merciful, not because we live, learn, and really mean it. If we are saved by our sincerity, how can you be sure that you are sincere enough? If we are saved even in part by our sacrifices, how can we be sure we have sacrificed enough? I desire mercy, not sacrifice, says the Lord. We can never be sure of our own efforts, but we can be sure that this is enough. Christ has died for all our sins. He has risen and gives you forgiveness for all your sins. You have faith and life and hope, not because of anything you have done, but because he has done it all, and that is enough. So, my dear friends, in your baptism, remember it. God called you by name, just as he called Matthew, and he washed away your sins. He joined you to his death and promised to raise you from the dead. He gave you righteousness and life and faith. He has done these things not because you made a great sacrifice or even a little bitty one. He has done these things because he is merciful and he has had mercy on you in Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for joining us for chapel. Today we pray for Chaplain Carl Mueller, who is deployed. The broadcast of chapel is underwritten by LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces. To learn more about LCMS International Mission and Ministry to the Armed Forces, visit kfuo.org/chapel.